Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today is a day to remember the great comfort that is being a Christian. You have many benefits by being a Christian, almost none of them earthly temporary ones. You do not have the comfort of being the richest or the wisest according to worldly standards. You do not have the comfort of having everybody like you and being the most popular. You do not have those sorts of things. But what you do have is an eternity to look forward to. What you do have is when these days get hard, when you have trial and tribulation, when you have discomfort and even disease, you are comforted by the God Almighty who cares so much for you that he will take you through these things. St. Peter, in our epistle lesson, is quoting Psalm 55, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." Cast your burdens on him. Jesus said, and St. Matthew quotes, "Come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I know life is hard. I know that there are things that happen that make you sink your head down, that make you feel so disquieted in your heart. Why, God, did you let this happen? And yet the same God that lets it happen also gives you the way through. The devil would use these things to try to discomfort you so much that you reject God. How could a good God, how could a loving God let any of these things happen, he says. And he worms his way into our brains to make us reject the comfort found in the cross of Jesus Christ. Therefore, St. Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I want you to imagine what would happen if you had, let's say, a governor or even a president who heard everything you said and did it. Would you not run to him? Would you not run to him often and say, "Hey, here's my next request"? And yet, the King of all creation does exactly that. Sure, he does not give it to us as we may want, but he gives it to us as we truly need. Because he is a father, the greatest father, the father that loves without us being lovable, the father that gives even though we can give nothing in return. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Be sober. Be vigilant. Stay the course. Sometimes that darkness crowds around and we get scared. We forget to look for the constant light that is God's word. For his word is a lamp unto my feet and it guides my path. The devil would have us focus on the darkness. His hordes of demons would have us focus on those things to scare us, to make us so nervous that we attempt to fill that void with different substances. It is no surprise that our unbelieving world medicates itself to oblivion, because it cannot fill the void that only God can. The devil would have you focused on substances, on overconsumption of alcohol, on popping pills, on focusing on depression and melancholy, rather than the comfort won by the cross of Jesus Christ, won by the gathering of fellow saints who at the same time are sinners just like the rest of us, who may not actually have everything together, but they know the one who does, and they follow him. Be sober. Be vigilant. Stay humble. Focus on the light. Focus on the Lamb of Jesus Christ. His light guides us. It shelters us. It casts out the darkness. We are the Church of Christ. We are Israel. We are the ones that he has set apart and washed in the blood of his Lamb. Of that sacrifice. The devil may look like a lion, and he will devour when we allow him to. The devil convinces people that they don't need church. The devil convinces people that they don't need to be reading their Bible. The devil convinces people that they don't need the sacraments. The devil convinces people that you can go your own way. Exactly what a lion would do. For the lion looks at the herd and finds the weakest among them, maybe the smallest among them, and makes them leave the herd, because it makes it easier to hunt and devour the weakest, especially when it is not surrounded by those who can help it. The devil picks off the children. The devil picks off the weak in faith, convincing them that they don't need Jesus every single day, convincing them that they don't need the herd, convincing them that they can go their own way and they'll be just fine. The truth is, apart from Christ, we are not just fine. We are not okay. But in Christ, we are better than okay. We have the comfort. We have the peace that surpasses all understanding. That's how much our Father loves us. Jesus, the cross of Jesus, shows the love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Resist the devil. Do not follow him. Do not listen to him when he convinces you to separate from your brothers and sisters in Christ. Do not listen to him when he tells you to grab for the bottle once again. Do not listen to him. Listen instead to Jesus. Listen to the voice also of your Father, who bids you come. Our gospel lesson is truly a beautiful lesson of how much God loves us, even when we try to separate ourselves from him. We are reminded of those things that get lost in the shuffle, not by God, but by our own minds, by our own shuffling, and how much God pursues those who wander from the faith. And he uses us, the church, to do that as well. So that when you see that the person who sits in your general area week after week is all of a sudden not there, maybe you call them, but you encourage them. You say, are you okay? Is everything okay? Is there anything I can do to help? Be a family. Show them the love of the Father. People grumble when Christians spend time seeking those who are lost. People grumble about it. But Jesus, they grumbled at him too. Jesus had come to restore the relationship that was marred by faithless living. Jesus came to restore the Gentiles. Jesus came to show them that they do have a father that loves them, even though they had rejected his laws. That there is still a pathway forward, but only one. That one pathway is Jesus. And so Jesus tells three stories, three parables. He tells of a man with 100 sheep, and that when that one sheep goes astray, he searches it out until he finds it. And when he finds it, he binds it up, he places it on his shoulders because he is the good shepherd, the good pastor, and he brings it home. And there is rejoicing over that one sheep that was lost that returns. He tells of a woman who had 10 coins and lost one of them. 10% of what she had is now gone, and she lights a lamp until she can find it, and when she finds it, by the power of that light, she rejoices, and she has others rejoice with her. And of this, Jesus says, there is more rejoicing in heaven by the angels and those who go before over the one that repents. The church is called to rejoice in that too. When a person who has left for a time, by the grace of God, has the Holy Spirit work in his or her heart, and he or she returns, which does happen, we should rejoice. We should rejoice when the person who lived apart from Christ is convicted by the word and is brought to faith by that word. We rejoice when another one joins our ranks of sinners being made saints, not because of us, but because of our God. And we do. The church of Old Testament Israel, the one who had been called and set apart by the blood of the Lamb that they were waiting for, became hard in their hearts. They began to believe that their righteousness was found in just being bloodline descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They believed that their righteousness was found in their fulfillment of the law rather than the Messiah, and they killed him for it. Judaism rejects the Messiah that the Father sent. They killed him, and they rounded up Christians to be put to death as well. This follows and tracks after our story of the prodigal son, the lost son. Those Hebrew people are very much so the eldest brother. They are the ones that stayed when the rest left. They are the ones that stayed and did the work that their father had given them when the Gentiles said, "We would rather you be dead. We want to go our own way. Just give us the stuff and leave us alone." Shem watching Japheth. But you, dear Christian, you rejoice. You could take that route of the elder brother. For many of you have been Christians your whole lives. You've never known a time of darkness, that is, darkness apart from Christ. And you rejoice. You rejoice rather than getting mad when God grafts people into your fellowship. You rejoice when that prodigal living person, the person that took this rich inheritance and squandered away with harlots and filthy living, when by the grace of God, he is convinced that he is a sinner and that he needs his Father to forgive him. It really is a beautiful story. And it reminds us that now is the time to return. Now is the time that you share with your sons and your daughters, with your grandchildren, with your friends, with your co-workers, that there is still a place for them. That Jesus is calling them to hear his word Now is the time to believe, because when that last hour comes and that door is shut, he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." For those who claim that they are Christians and reject the need to go to worship, the need to have the body and blood of Christ, the need to actually hold to what God's word says, for those Christians in your life, show them what the Bible teaches. Because those who say, "Lord, Lord," when they rejected the truth of the Lord, will be cast down. They will not make it in. God uses each and every one of us to share the gospel. And quite often, it's by the joy that they see on your face. That when you are suffering, when you are going through trial, you do not let the devil convince you it's because God doesn't really love you. But rather you recognize that your God loves you so much that his son suffered innumerably more than we do, so that we could be with him for eternity. Yes, God gives us earthly temporal blessings, but far surpassing that are the eternal ones. The father in our story received his son. Received his son because he loves him. Received his son who wasted all that he had given him. But with a repentant heart is freely forgiven. He is freely restored. And there is rejoicing. In a world that rejects the importance of fatherhood, even though you can see the statistics show that 4/5 of the men that are spending many years in prison, 4/5 of them grew up in a fatherless home. We can reject these stats all we want, but the truth is that God does give fathers. Just as he gives mothers, it takes a father and a mother in order to bring forth life into this world. We rejoice that our Father does not reject us, but calls us back to him when we fail him. This is an example to you men of the importance of loving your children, of showing them the love of the Father. We are imperfect men, and we fail at this every single day. But by the same grace won by the cross of Jesus Christ, we ask him to forgive us, and he does. And we let that forgiveness and that joy flow through us, even if it means you have to spend 5 minutes listening to the radio before you shut your truck off and go inside. Rejoice if God has given you those children, that these are eternal treasures, that he has given them to you to lead them, to direct them, to teach them, as Deuteronomy 6 and Ephesians 6 teach. We will continue to be imperfect at it. We will continue to lose our tempers. We will continue to need his mercy, and we will continue to need to pray. But that joy remains in us. May it remain in them as well. The church sings. When life's troubles rise to meet me, though their weight may be great, they will not defeat me. God, my loving Savior, sends them. He who knows all my woes knows how best to end them. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.